August the 16th, and I'm in the church that the Reverend Mays, Percy Mays, has helped establish, and he's going to tell us today about himself and also about his church. First of all, Reverend Mays, I'd like for you to tell us your full name and when you were born and anything you can think of, like your parents and your grandparents, their names on both sides of the family, because we want this to go in the genealogical library in Bisto, and maybe one of these days, one of your grandchildren may come back and want to know everything about Granddaddy.
Thank you. I'm Percy Alfred Mays. My parents were Herrick Arthur Mays and Gertha L. Wortham Mays. There were 6 children born to the family. I have one older brother, Ozzie Mays, who passed away last year. The rest of the children are all living. Just one had passed.
Give me their names, but before you give them the names, tell me how to spell Ozzie's name so we'll have it right in the newsletter.
O-Z-I-E.
O-Z-I-E, okay.
Now, it's really Ozzie Lee Mays.
Ozzie Lee.
L-E-A-Y-E-S.
Okay.
He's older and I'm next to him. We attended grade school together, high school together. Even though Ozzie was older than I finished high school with him. I guess I was a little more mischievous than he was, and I made 2 grades in 1 year.
Oh, how wonderful.
Caught up with him and stayed along with him until graduation.
All right, now what about the other 4 children? Can you give me their names, too?
The other children, Vera is next to me, then Velma, Roxy, Junior, that is Eric Arthur Mays Junior, Menzola and Doris.
All righty.
All living.
Now, where were you? Where were you born? In what area?
I was born in Arthur City, Texas,
in Lamar County.
1919, May 18, 1919.
And did you come up to Bristow? About when, Reverend Mays?
I came to Bristow with my parents in 1929, in the month of November.
You came right at the height of the Depression then, didn't you?
Yes, and just before an awfully bad winter. Now, winter 29-30, real cold. We walked across a pond during the time when it was real cold. Being in an area we were unfamiliar with, we did not know that we were walking across a pond on our way to school because it was all iced over. And you just think you was walking on the ground if you didn't know where you was. So one day on our way from school, from the Sand Creek School in Okeechobee County, east of Bowling, we walked out on the pond that we didn't know was there, and it began to crack.
Oh, my.
We turned and went back and went around, so nobody got...
You didn't have a catastrophe.
...fell in the pond or anything like that. But... the entire group, that is myself, the rest of the children, finished our elementary schooling at the Sand Creek School. I went on along with my brother to Bowley High School, where we finished high school in 1937. During that time, they were accepting boys in the service. at a CC, what they call a CC camp. There, boys could find employment. When I was not able to get enough money to go to college, I wanted to be in this CC camp where I could earn enough to get to pay for my own college education. And there was a group of boys, along with myself, who took the examination. And we were all accepted, but they took the number they wanted before they got to me.
Ah.
I left home to go to work then in order to put myself through college.
Now, wait a minute, back up. Was that discrimination? Was it white and black, or were
no.
It was not?
No, it wasn't discrimination. We just so happened that my family were bottom land. We had good land where we were. And there was something to do all the time. And the yield from the crop planted was quite satisfactory.
Your father must have been a good farmer, wasn't he?
He was a good farmer, willing to work, and we was in a good place over there where we were. But we just wasn't able to get to college. So I ran away from home and went to Texas. Went to work over there. And from where I was, I had intended to go on further south in Texas. And from there, I had planned to go to Washington, the state of Washington, where I had an uncle who was quite well off. I wanted to get up there, not to get any of his money nor his help, but to work. And while I was there, this may sound a little funny, but it's true. My brother married, and his wife was a friend to Thelma. So they began to correspond with Thelma. Thelma wrote me a little card, just a simple little postcard. Whatever she had on it sounded good. Instead of me going to Texas and to Washington, I came back to Bowling. And we were married.
How old were you when you were married?
21.
21. And how old was Thelma?
Thelma, if I got a correct age, she was 19.
Very romantic.
And we've lived together since that time, have 6 children.
Right now, I want you to be sure and tell me what her maiden name was now, and I want the names of all your children, because this may be important one of these days, very important.
All right, her maiden name was Thelma Rhine.
Rhine. And can you tell me her mother and father's names for your grandchildren?
Eliza Rhine was her mother.
Do you know what her maiden name was?
No, I don't.
Okay, all right. I thought it might help your children one of these days, if you can think of it. Maybe it'll come to you or something.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right.
I don't know. Dukes.
Oh, Dukes. That's great.
It was Dukes.
Well, yes. That may help your child sometimes.
Yes, it was really Dukes. And that's about all there is to it.
All right, now then, give me the names of your children.
All of them?
All of them. And if you can do their birth dates, do that too.
I can't.
You can't, okay. All right, just give me their names.
The oldest daughter is Garnett. The next daughter is Marion. Then Margaret, Barbara, Anna, and Brenda.
All pretty girls.
All mean as they can be. The only boy born to our family was named Percy Alfred Mays. He suffocated, and he was left in a car in Okemo while my wife was shopping. And he turned over with his nose toward the back seat. You know, he's in the back seat with the nose toward the back of the seat and was down against the back of the seat, and he kind of suffocated. And then I guess the cool air or something, pneumonia developed from it. It was too complicated for him to handle when he passed away.
I know that was.
That's the only boy we had in the family.
All those girls.
And I have always studied the Bible from a small child. I've been interested in what was written in the scripture, the message, of course.
You've always had such a wonderful way of speaking. Every time I've ever been around where you've done anything, you just do the words so nicely. You put everything together so well.
I thank you kindly. I believe in studying, and I love it. I still do that today. I'm doing a little more writing now than ever before.
That's great.
So, I was appointed a deacon of the church at an early age at St. Emmanuel Baptist Church, where I served as superintendent of the Sunday school at one time, and also a deacon of the church.
All right, now where is that church?
It's at Bowling,
East of Bowling.
Just a few miles east of Bowling, on 62, off of 62 Highway South. And in my love for the study of the Bible, I was drawn into a close fellowship with the Lord and the studying of the Bible, because I wanted to be obedient to what was said in the Bible. And I was trying hard to live it. And I was working with different ministers. I felt the urge to surrender fully to the Lord and let him have his way in my life. Under Reverend J.W. Tumlin, one of my favorite pastors, I felt the urge to preach, and yet I was so ashamed to get up before people. I didn't like public speaking. But I felt that this is what God wanted me to do, so I surrendered to the call, preached my first sermon in St. Emmanuel Baptist Church, East of Bowling. Later on, I was ordained. And after ordination, I was called here to the church south of Bristol, the church that is now Greater Mount Hermon.
Oh, yes.
I pastored there 2 years. And after the 2 years was up, people here requested my service here, but I was reluctant to leave that church because I really loved the people. They loved me. I was quite satisfied at that. But after praying over it, I felt that here was a place where Lord wanted me to be. So I gave up, accepted the call here. I moved here October 26, 1950. I looked at the cemetery on the east side of the church, and there's a rock there. I stood on that rock, and summing everything up, I said for myself, 5 years here will be the limit. And I've been here, but I missed it. I've been here 42 years.
Oh, my word. But now, when you first came, was the church right here?
Yes, the church was on this spot. It was a frame building here.
Okay, now you've written the history of this church, haven't you?
I have the history. I also have the picture, some pictures here I've gotten together for you.
Oh, Now, can I take those pictures and have Mr. Coleman make some prints of them so we'll have them for the library and for the Historical Society?
If you can use them, you'd be quite welcome to them.
I don't want to take anything. I mean, I'll have a print made of the things, and then I'll bring them back to you. But I surely want a copy of this, the history that you have written for our library down here.
I have it here. I have a copy for you. I have copies for you. And I will go over this one if you would.
Oh, yes. Like, yeah, I'll do it orally because now we'll have people that will come out the library who won't read, but they will listen. So if I've got it on the tape and I have it written, then we have, you know, double contact.
Duffy Chapel Baptist Church History. This was written in 1981.
Okay.
In Bristol, Oklahoma, on August the 15th, 1919, near a cemetery on the east side of this present structure, Reverend Frank Duffy, Mrs. Frank Duffy, Mr. Beatty Duffy, Brother McKinley Shoals, and a Barra deacon from Lincoln High named Johnny Williams met in a small oil field house measuring approximately 14 by 16 feet. These charter members organized the Duffy Chapel Baptist Church and later purchased this lot where the church now stands for $125. The church held an evangelistic crusade at the southeast corner of 10th and Poplar Streets. The meetings were held under a tent borrowed from Mr. M. Jones. Reverend Johnson conducted the meetings. This effort led to the building of a frame structure, serving as a meeting place for worship until it was demolished. Carpenters building this house were Mr. Shaw, Mr. John Hall, and others. The first stage of our new building program was completed in 1964 with Mr. Mansey Hale contractor. The plumbing and electrical work was done by Brother Caesar Toller. The members of our brotherhood helped with the construction. On March 3, 1973, Brother Jonas Thompson offered a motion that we start on the sanctuary of the church. The motion passed and the construction began as soon as plans were completed. Building contractors were Mr. Clyde McDaniel, Mr. Carl Cole, and Mr. Raymond Bird. Plumbing and electrical work was done by Mr. Caesar Toller. On June 10, 1973, we laid the cornerstone. Reverend A.M. Garrett was guest speaker, and the stone was laid by Bristol Lodge No. 74. Reverend I.J. Crawford served as alternate. Our church furniture was purchased at Wagner Brothers Manufacturing Company of Boonville, Arkansas. One table was donated to the church by Mr. and Mrs. William Cheatham, one by Brother Lewis Hamilton, and few cushions by the First Baptist Church of Bristol, Oklahoma. Brother McKinley Shoals was instrumental in getting the cushions for the church. We thank God for his continued blessings. We thank the American National Bank and the Creek Farmers Federal Credit Union for counseling and for financial assistance. We thank the donors for the many contributions to the church. Dedication services were held on April 26th through the 28th, 1974. Reverend David Shibley was guest speaker on April 26th at 7 p.m. and Reverend Eric Arthur Mays was guest speaker at 3 p.m. on April 28th.
I just want to ask you, I want to ask you, we'll back up to the community, our black community here. Tell me as much as you can about any businesses that were here on this street. And also, I'd like to know a little bit about Lincoln School over there. What you remember. And if you can name me any of the teachers. The Reverend Mays has just handed me a reunion catalog that they worked out. And it was August the 28th. 29th, 30th, and 31st, and September the 1st in 1985. Gosh, it looks fantastic. Who put this thing together?
The group of alumni.
Wow, you all did beautifully. Is there a copy of this down at the library that you know of?
If you don't have, you're welcome to.
You have a spare copy? Could we have, if I could find a spare copy, one for the museum and one for the library at some point in time. I don't want to take this, but did you sell them?
You might have that if you're lying, because I have some others.
Oh, do you? Yes. All right, I'm going to take this and put it in the public library then. Would that be all right with you?
You'd be quite welcome to.
Okay. Now, if anybody ever wants to look at one of these and you hear them, just tell them to go back to the desk and ask for the key to the genealogy section. We keep it in a little cabinet there, and we're trying to make a genealogy library. This would be wonderful, and this will answer questions of a lot of people.
A lot of names you will.
Oh, yes, you have all these wonderful names.
And if you can use that.
Oh, yes. Oh, this would be great. And this might give us some other people to contact also when we get to do and on the black community. And then you have a summary of the past reunions there and some wonderful pictures. Oh, I think that's great. That is really good. We surely will. All right. Now then, let me ask you, let's go back to the town then. Can you think of any businesses that were here on the street? I know some of them are gone, because I can remember there used to be a funeral home there, I know, wasn't there, at one point in time?
The Fiegel Funeral Home was located in this block on the south side of the street. And on the corner of 10th and Chestnut Street, there was a hotel, a two-story building.
Do you remember the name of the hotel?
I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
It was there when we moved here, and I'm quite sorry that I don't remember the name of it, but I don't.
Was there a grocery store there?
There was two grocery stores here on this block. One was the Oliver Grocery Store to the west of the church on the adjoining lot there. There was the Fields Grocery Store that was at one time the Peavy Grocery Store.
Oh, yes.
On the other side of the street. After the Peavys left, then Willie Fields took the store. There was a Masonic Lodge right over here on this corner. There was the lodge, that's where I was raised. In that lodge, right there on this corner.
On that corner.
Those are the only businesses that we had in this particular
area. Yeah.
Later on, I established and operated a barbershop on 10th Street, just across Chestnut, there by where C.B. Ashley lived.
Oh, yeah.
In the building that he once operated his office with the extension service.
Then when did they do the community center here, the building down there on the corner? How many years has that been? See, it's escaped me.
I don't know just exactly what.
But it's been in operation for some time.
It was. But in 1930, trying to get it together. In 1940, I believe, long in there is when they built the building. But I don't know whether it's 41, 42. Yeah. It must have been in the 40s.
Okay, then in my mind, and I haven't been down there in a long time, didn't there used to be a park down there in connection with the school, a playground area for kids? Seemed like I used to come over there once in a while and play ball with somebody, but I don't remember.
There was a playground to the north of the school.
Yeah, down in that low area down there.
From the school down to 12th Street.
Yeah.
There was a playground there at the school.
You know, what I really would like to know, too, is I'd like to know some of the feelings that some of the early people had about living in the Bristow area. What kind of relationships did we... I mean, to me, it's always been really good, but then, see, I was over there and somebody was over here, so I've never known of any friction, but I'm sure there has been. But I know that horrible thing they had in Tulsa spilled over into Bristow at that one point in time when they were doing things to the black. But I've always felt like, yes, the black people in our community have been so wonderful about so many things and so cooperative and so, you know, they just have been, I don't know what it is, I just have wondered about their real feelings sometimes. And maybe it's not worth expressing, you know.
I would like to express my personal feelings about it. I'd like to begin by saying I was raised in an all-color town, and that is Boley. When I came to Bristow, this mixed town, that is, we had white and black people here, but I found a wonderful relationship existing between all people in the city. First of all, it's peaceable. Then I found that in the trade section, people were so nice to their customers, and especially your father, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, my father... I
mean, you may not want me to mention
this. No.
He was so nice to our family. And other families I talked to, your father was nice to them.
He just grew up and he just loved some of the people. They were.
I think he loved people and was concerned about people and was willing to help people. And he will always be remembered by people who are here.
Now, I just... And
I didn't find a lot of prejudice here
in our community.
It's friendly town. And yet, on the other hand, it was a town that was, people were businesslike. They were not clownish at all, full of business. And I admire them for their Christian relationship existing between the people of all races here, for the Indians or blacks or
the
whites.
Assyrians or anybody
else?
Great, yes.
I just give Bristow a good rating, not because I'm speaking to you on this, but because I found it that way.
Well, I remember when I'd come over to Lincoln School, the discipline, the children were just so wonderful, and everybody was so happy, and it really has changed these last few years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
I'm sorry to say that.
One time we could sleep over here without a doze log. Maybe out on the porch if we still got too hot in the house.
Yeah.
That has changed now. Yeah. We're a little afraid to do it.
That's not only here. It's in my place and everything else. It's a change of
I'm sad to say that something in the larger cities has filtered down too.
Yes, it's too bad. But you know what? When people like you all and everybody keep working in the church and everything, something good's going to happen. One of these days it's going to swing back around. I just have